Praise you, Lord. Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians 3. We started talking about, started a series on love, rooted and grounded in love. And the first message is on the website, if you weren't with us. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. These things will build on each other. We won't go back and recap everything. But Ephesians 3, 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Everybody there? It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." How many of you know sometimes say, I could use some strength? There are times when you need, you just know, I need some strength. I need to be strengthened. I need to be built up. I need to be girded up. Well, that's what Paul's praying right here. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. That's where we need to be strong, really. If we're strong in our inner man, then our mind will be strong. If we're strong in our inner man, then our bodies will be strong. That's where we need the strength. That's the real us. When we leave this body, our inner man is going to go right on to be in heaven. If you're a Christian, if you've been born again, recreated, because of believing on Jesus, you're going to go into the other realm and be in the presence of God and the angels in heaven. Your body isn't going. This body is not going. Some of us can say, thank God. I don't want the body going. I want the new body, not this body. My spirit's going. Your mind will be there. You will know. You'll have the memories and everything. Your brain is not going, because your brain's part of your body, but your mind's intact. See, I thought they were the same thing. No, they're not the same thing. It's just like your spirit's inside your earth suit manipulating around. Well, your mind thinks through your brain. It contacts this world through your brain, but that's not your mind. That's why people can have mental problems. That doesn't mean their mind, they're locked in there, and they can have things going on with their head. That doesn't mean their mind's messed up. That means the brain is faulty, and the brain can be healed just like any other part of the body. Hallelujah. But we want to focus, where we want to be aware of that inner man, because that inner man is what is going to, that's the eternal part of us. And if we're strong in spirit, then it'll affect our mind, it'll affect our heart, our bodies. Verse 17, so at the end of 16, he said, "With might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, there's so much here. We got a little bit of it out last time. We're going to get some more out today. But look at, it says, to know that you may be able, let's go back to 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Notice what it said, rooted and grounded in what? Love. Love. Our lives ought to be rooted and grounded in love. It's the foundation. You may be seeking healing today. You may be seeking restored relationships today. Whatever you're facing, the answer all comes back to love. So many times people are saying, well, I know I need a healing. No, so many times it's not, you don't understand love. that there's some stuff that isn't right. You don't understand, number one, what God has done and how much He loves you and what that actually means and what that's done in your life. You may not understand that that love is in you. But He said that you would be rooted and that you rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. That's what I want to focus on this morning. That you would know the love of Christ that what? Passes knowledge. This is the foundation. It's not doing a bunch of stuff, trying to receive from God on grounds other than what He has already done for us. We need to know what He did for us and how He loves us. That enables us to receive. That enables us then to love. If you're trying to love, so let's just not talk about that part so much this morning. But if you're trying to love and you don't know that what God has done and how much He loves you, you're going to have a hard time, and that's an understatement. It's impossible. Did you hear me? To really love, you can't love the way God loves unless you realize what God did for you. You have to know what He did for you. That security will allow us to love. Let's turn over to John 3:16. John 3:16. Let this be fresh to you this morning. I don't care how many times you've heard something about love. What did we just read? That we should be rooted and grounded in it. So even if we've heard, we can be more rooted. We can be more grounded. We can come up a notch. Does anybody in here think you've arrived in your love walk? There's nothing more to improve. You never lose your temper. You never even flinch. I mean, everything is just always smooth. Say, you love exactly like Jesus loved. You could stand up and you could say, that's me. I'm there. Anybody? Well, then we can all go up higher, right? We can all go up higher. Do you believe we're going up higher this morning? Yes. Do we pray we're going to go up higher? Yes. Then I believe we're going up higher. I believe this is where we're supposed to be this morning. We're going up higher to a higher level in our love walk. And that starts with knowing what Jesus did for us and how He loved us and does love us. Amen. John 3:16. I would say many of us in this room could probably quote this scripture. Quoting it doesn't mean we're walking in it or really understand it. Hallelujah. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved that He did what? He gave. Love is marked by giving. But God gave His only Son because He loved us. Turn over to 1 John 3:16. Near the end, right? A few books right before Revelation. 1 John 3:16. Thank God. We're just going to get built up in this area this morning. 1 John 3:16. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He said, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. He gave his life for ours. I don't think we really comprehend what that means. We've heard it. Some of us have heard it since we were children. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. But the Lord Jesus, he went through what he went through on this earth. Made himself a sacrifice for you, for me. And we did not deserve it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine giving your life for someone else? Now, you might can imagine giving your life for your children or your spouse, somebody close to you. I think most of us as parents, if we were in a situation where it was us or them, we wouldn't have to think about it. We would give our life in an instant, right? If something were happening and it was us or them, we would give our life. I think we wouldn't hesitate. Our spouse, if there was something where we needed to lay down our life and give it, many of us, we wouldn't flinch. But how about somebody that's in prison for murder or a horrendous crime like, you know, molesting a child or raping somebody? Just somebody that's just horrible. I mean, that has done horrible things. Now, to give your life, take you away from your family, make your children fatherless or motherless, or vice, you know, make your mother or father childless, for that type of person, for somebody that has committed a heinous crime, with no remorse, didn't look back, would do it again. To give that, to love that person, and to say, okay, I'm going to give my life for them so that they can be set free. I dare say there's not one person in here that can truly imagine yourself doing that. Or think about it from that. So Jesus did that. Think about it from God's perspective. He gave his son for people like that. Now, you that are parents, can you imagine giving one of your children? You probably would sooner give yourself for somebody like that than you would your child. Can you imagine giving your child to be brutally killed so somebody that chose to do wrong would go free? Most of us in here would say, there's no way over my dead body. Right? Be honest. That thought, you think of giving one of your precious children for somebody that doesn't care, that has no remorse, that has killed or done something like that, you would not, that thought would just be repulsive to you, right? And we've heard that, but that's what God has done for us. He looked at us, and you say, well, I'm not that bad. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever lied? If you've lied, if you've ever said hateful words to somebody, and the Bible calls you a murderer. So, well, I've never done it. Yeah, but the law says if you've broken the law here, you're guilty. If you've ever looked at someone of the opposite gender with lust, it's the same that you've committed adultery. So if we've done those things and we know we haven't measured up, God looked at us beforehand. Before we were ever even born, he knew what we would do, and he said, I'm going to die for that person. And I'm also going to die and give my life as a ransom for everybody else. You can name any name of any person that's reviled by society. Dictators, people that have done horrendous things that unless they repented at the last minute are not with Jesus. But yet Jesus died for them. He laid down his life for them. And the Bible says this is how we know love. This is the love with which God loves us, that he would put himself aside and say, they're more important. I will make this sacrifice for them. The Bible says that is how we know love. As Rita gets, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Skip down to chapter 4, verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 7 says, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. It says God is love. Not that we could see, love has gotten such, it's just been so twisted and messed up in our society. You can see it happening. People are calling love, such things love, that don't have anything to do with love. And it's ironically being emphasized more and more in society. It'd be funny if it weren't so sad. People talk about how we should just love and, you know, be a good person and love, and that's the epitome. And they don't know love. They don't know God. But you can see it coming to the forefront of society. You can see people talk about loving. You could just let a love your fellow man, and the love they're talking about is not love. It's selfishness. It's godlessness. It's not looking to God to tell what God, what would you have us do? If he is, let me ask you a question. If God is love, then to know love, you have to know him. Right? You can't say, well, because there is this idea, right? That you can love, and it doesn't matter what quote-unquote religion or faith you are. It's all about love, right? Is this not pervasive in our society now? It doesn't, you can love, it doesn't matter what faith you are, we can just all get, you see these bumper stickers, you know, let's just all get along and have all the faith, as if it does not matter. It doesn't matter really what you believe, just as long as you believe something. That's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. That is a deception from the enemy, that you can believe anything and still be saved. That's a lie. Who would want you to believe such a lie? The deceiver who wants you to go with him. He wants you to side with him. His end is in the lake of fire. And the fact is, everybody that follows him will be judged the same way. Not because God wanted it, but because they listened to the deceiver. Who would want you to stand up and say, it's okay, we can believe whatever we want, it's all right, as long as we love. How devilish that is, because he knows for a fact, don't make no mistake, the devil knows this, but he's going to lie bold-faced anyway, that he knows you can't know love without knowing love, who is God. There's this idea that, but I can be a good person. We can have a great marriage and not know God. You can have a decent marriage. That marriage was before the fall. So there is part of a thing that you can have a decent marriage by going through certain principles, but you're not going to know the fullness and not know him if you don't know the one that created the institution to begin with. If you don't know love, you cannot love the way he does. It's impossible. But we're being sold a package of lies that it really, see, now it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you love. And buddy, it's not love when you reject the way other people believe, because that's not loving them. That's a lie. What it's saying is, if you really love somebody else, then you would take the way they choose to believe and accept it, because after all, that's love. That's not love. If somebody's going to their death and we tell them, it's okay, you're on the right track. Oh yeah, right about them. Somebody's going down and asks you for directions. And they say, I just keep going right down on this road right here, right straight, you know, for the next 10 miles. And you know the bridge is out in a mile. And you say, you're right on track, buddy. Just go. Push the accelerator down as you're going. I'd go, you know, the next, you can go 55 from here to your destination, no problem. If you did that, would that be love? No. But that's what people call love, is that somebody else is saying, it's all right to believe the way I do. We should love them. No, tolerating, real tolerance, is standing right next to somebody and accepting them as a human being. That doesn't mean we have to accept what they believe. That's not the same thing. And love would not do that. Love would not accept somebody else, what they believe, if it's wrong. If you really cared about the person, you would let them know. Right? But it's this thing that we're being told, no, you got to love people. We just all have to get along. Did Jesus get along with everybody? They killed him. It's quiet now. Right? They killed Jesus. I'm not saying we're not supposed to get along with people or be disagreeable. I'm just saying what the world and this force that people are trying to call love is not love. It's not love because it's not God. And how do you know? Love, real love, is going to line up with the Word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to get into that at some point. The different parts of love, but we're not going to go there quite yet. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, notice this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 10, though, says, in this is love, not that we loved God. Most of the world's religion is going to tell you it's about what you do for God. You have to do this and this and this, and then God will accept you. God will answer your prayer. If you do this many prayers of this type, or you do this many good works, then God will accept you. Then you have a chance for Him to answer your prayer. That's not what Christianity teaches. Christianity says, look at this verse 10. It says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. So He loved us first. Nobody was here when Jesus died on the earth 2,000 years ago. So the fact is, He died way before we were around. Yet He knew us. And He loved us first. He already gave His life for us. He loved us before we loved Him. It says, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for His sins. The Bible says that is love. Propitiation, that he's the substitute, the atonement for our sins. That's love. Not that we're doing all this for Him, but that He loved us. That He came and died for us. Look down in verse 17. Thank you, Lord. It says, love has been perfected or matured or reached fruition among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. I'm going to read that again. Love has been perfected. Now, before I go further, it says love has been perfected. What did we first read in Ephesians? We read about being rooted and grounded in what? In love. And here it's talking about reaching maturity. Being perfected. Does that sound like rooted and grounded? If you're perfected, if love's been perfected in you, does it sound, do you think you could say you're rooted and grounded in it? You're pretty well stable in it. Well, look what it says. It says, love has been perfected. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It means it's matured among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment. Look at that. So when the judgment's coming down, or when there's judgment on the earth, and you look around, and you're still bold, and you stick your neck right out there and say, well, I know God loves me. I know I'm okay. That's bold. How are you going to be like that? Look, it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Because just as Jesus, because of what Jesus did, because of that sacrifice, that if we've said, God, you loved me like that, I act on that, I believe that, and I receive the fact that I'm going to receive that I'm a new creation in you, that I am the righteousness of God in you because of what you did, because of your love, then I can stand up and be bold in the face of judgment, that I can be bold in the face of circumstances. Why? Because love has been perfected in me. Because I understand what Jesus did and that he did it for me, and I'm not saying I have to get my way up to be okay with him, that he actually came first. He put himself under, he sacrificed himself, he emptied himself, came to this earth, made himself of no reputation, sacrificed himself. And then I've received that, therefore, because I understand the love, and I'm rooted and grounded in that, that I'm perfected and matured in that, that I can stand up and I can be bold. Do you see how this affects every other area of our life? That if we're secure in what Jesus did and we understand what he did and we understand the love that he had before I did anything. How many of you said, yeah, I had a part to play in what Jesus did for me. I was back there, I convinced him I was worth it, and therefore he went to the cross. Who in here, you somehow were back there then, and you said, I convinced him. He did it for me. I had a part to play in him laying down his life. No. He did it before you and I said dad, dad, mama, anything, had any conscious thought. He had already paid the price. It was already done. Right? So we didn't have anything to do with it. He loved us before we saw anything. And when we were running around, maybe doing stupid stuff earlier in our lives, maybe we did things that we're not proud of, he still had already paid the price, he had already come, he had already paid the price, he already loved us, right? He already saw everything we were going to do, and he said, I love them, I'll lay down my life for them. Praise God. So what does that mean then? If we're rooted and grounded in that, then when we realize that Jesus did that apart from us, and our job is to believe that he did it apart from us and receive it and act on it and act like it's true and stand up boldly and say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. I can stand up boldly in the face of circumstances and say, I don't deserve any judgment. Why? Because Jesus loved me and because he already did this for me and because I've received it. If we're rooted and grounded in that, then we can go forward. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Let's keep reading there in 1 John, verse 18. So let's read 17 again just to see where we're coming from. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love. There's that term again. Perfect or mature love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So notice that in verse 18 again, it says, there's no fear in love. That's something to be happy about right there. In love, in this love we're talking about, there's no fear. So if we are having fear in our life, if fear comes and it's able to push on us, what does that mean about our understanding of love? It's not where it needs to be, right? It means that we can go up higher, right? That we aren't understanding fully this love that God has for us. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any fear. You wouldn't be afraid of something happening. You wouldn't be nervous that this would happen on the job, or this is going to happen in your body, or somebody's going to reject you. Why? Because you know who you are in love. You know who loves you. Right? It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, again, rooted, grounded, matured love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. Let's turn over to one more scripture. Let's go back to John 17. We'll close with this. John 17, I believe. John 17, 20. I remember when I first saw this scripture. Really saw it. John 17, verse 20. So Jesus is praying. This is before he's going to be crucified. And he's prayed for his disciples. And so he, in verse 20, just got done praying for them. And he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that he's talking about? Us. We believed because of the word of those that witnessed him on this earth. And it's been written down for us. It's been passed down. And we said, yeah, I believe that too. I believe what he did for me. So Jesus is praying for us. Glory to God. Jesus on earth is praying for you and me. That's pretty good. He says, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. Now listen to this. And the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that part again. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. Now look at this part. You should highlight this in your Bible and meditate on this week. And have loved them as you have loved me. What's it saying? That God the Father loves you and me just as he does Jesus. Now, you wouldn't hardly believe that if you didn't just read it in the Bible. Somewhere to tell you that the Bible says that he loves you and me as much as he loves Jesus. Most religious folks wouldn't even receive that. Most people in the world would think you're off your rocker. But the Word of God says it. We just read it. That we're loved. God loves us just as he does Jesus. Hallelujah. As we become more grounded in that, that God loves us that same way, that will cast out fear, that will cast out distress, that will cast out worry, that will cast out all these things that we deal with, because we'll say, God loves me. And it won't just be some religious, well, yeah, God loves me, but our behavior is totally opposite. You know what I'm talking about? People say, oh, yeah, I know God loves me, but where is he? And blah, 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 blah. And I get, no. We don't want it to be just, oh, yeah, Jesus loves me. Yeah. But I don't really believe it, because watch me live for a little bit and you'll see I don't really believe that. Because I really believe that God loved me the same way Jesus. I would not be acting this way and running around pulling out my hair and wondering what's going to happen next if I really believed that God Almighty, the creator of the whole universe, this great God loves you and I the same way that he loves the Son of the living God, his only begotten Son, Jesus. The highest name in the universe. That he looks at each one of us and he says, yep, they're another one of my children. And I love them just like the name above every name, Jesus. Now, if we really believe that, walked in that, we're rooted and grounded in that, we're matured and perfected in that, that would change some things in our life, would it? Would that change the way we would approach a situation when we come up against it and we realize God loves me and I'm in this situation? That means this situation is going to turn out okay because God loves me. God, not just I heard that and I'm parroting it. No, God loves me here, now, in this mess, and so I'm coming out. It's going to be good, because watch this. God, the great God that created all this, he loves me. Just like he loves Jesus. And he takes pretty good care of Jesus, so that means I'm coming through this. It's going to change. It'll change the way we react with people. Somebody doesn't think you're anything. Somebody belittles you. Well, they just don't know who they're dealing with. God loves me. Poor soul. They don't, I mean, not in an arrogant way, but sorry, you don't know who you're dealing with. My Father, the King of the universe, loves me. Do you think that would change the way we interact with people? You know, when we're in school or work or whatever, interacting with people, and you know, we all have people like this. They don't think that highly of us. No matter who you are, I mean, you're President of the United States, half the people don't like you. So, I mean, no matter how high you get, in corporations or whatever, somebody's not going to like you. They're not going to think you're all that great. Well, when you know this, you know the one that matters believes something about us. That changes everything. That'll change the way we act. Amen? Glory to God. He is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah.